God. What is faith? What is faith? So as we talk about faith, let's get a definition, a working definition of what faith is. Now, if we looked at Hebrews 11 and verse 1, we would read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's the biblical definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So according to this definition, faith takes the place of the thing that you are hoping for.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church.
We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series titled, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Do You Need Faith Surgery?
The story is told about a man who went fishing with his friend. The man knew that they were catching these fish because they were going to have a fish fry afterwards. And so he was catching some nice-sized fish. Oh, man, these fish that he was catching, I mean, they were some beautiful, big fish. But he kept throwing them back. And his friend, after a while, began to question what he was doing. He said, "Man, you know we're going to have a fish fry after this. And you've been catching some nice fish that we could have fried up in the pan. Why in the world do you keep throwing them back in?" And the man reached into his backpack, and he pulled out his frying pan, and he said, "Because they won't fit in here." And I wonder if sometimes God's people are not the same way. That God wants to throw some big fish in our boat. That God wants us to let us catch some big fish, but we keep throwing the fish back in because our faith pan is not big enough. That we have allowed doubt to rob us of the blessings that God has promised us in faith. I read this poem and it went something like this. Doubt sees the obstacles, faith sees the way. Doubt sees the dark night, faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step, faith soars on high. Doubt questions who believes, and faith answers I. Oh, I like that there. I like that. Are you filled with doubt or are you filled with faith? When it comes to the things in your life, do you find yourself more doubting or more having faith? I have to admit that when I'm around God's people, a lot of the times I hear more doubt and I hear more questions arising out of God's people than I do them hear them saying, "Look, let's just trust God. Let's just have faith in God. Let's believe God. God's going to work it out." Deacon Boston stood up here. He told how that as a result of the summer that we are in a deficit financially here at our church. But God is going to work it out. Every year we end up at this point. And by the end of the year, everything works out. The budget balances out. You know, trust God. Where God guides, he supplies. Where he leads, he feeds. And where he directs, he protects. And so all we have to do is have faith and trust him. And I don't know where you're at today in your life. I don't know what obstacles you're against. I don't know what situations that you're dealing with. But if you don't have faith, you're out of the ball game. You can't even get in this Christian ball game without faith. And so the writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. What is faith? What is faith? So as we talk about faith, let's get a definition, a working definition of what faith is. Now, if we looked at Hebrews 11 and verse 1, we would read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's the biblical definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So according to this definition, faith takes the place of the thing that you are hoping for. Let me say that again. Faith takes the place of the thing that you are hoping for. In practical terms, faith is an element that puts us in touch with God and helps us to believe we will receive what he has promised to us before it comes to pass. Faith believes that you're going to receive it because God promised and that it's going to come to pass even before you get it. Now, this is deep. I'm getting ready to take you deep now in this definition. I'm getting ready to take you deep, so I'm letting you know. Put on your deep hats. Put on your what they call that, suit that you go down into the deep into the ocean. You know, put all that on, right? Okay, check this out. Our five senses puts us in touch with this world. Our eyes put us in touch with this world, helps us to see. Our tongue puts us in touch with this world, helps us to communicate. Our ears help us to hear. Our feelings help us to sense. And our tastes help us to eat. Now, these five senses put us in touch with this world. And so if we just operate in the realm of these five senses, we'll just stay in touch with this world. But praise God, what does he do? God gives us a sixth sense. If you are a child of God today, if you are a believer, you have a sixth sense. And what is that sixth sense? Faith. Because faith takes you outside of this world. That unless you have faith, you are locked in to the things that you can see, taste, touch, feel, smell, and hear. You are locked into that. But when God opens your eyes and gives you faith, then you can see things that the average person can't see. People on your job, they are just locked into this world. So don't be threatened or don't worry when they freak out when things go bad, when things don't go their way, when they drop all the pieces and go all the pieces. Don't get upset when that happens to them. Why? Because they are just operating according to their senses. Now, the problem is when God's people start acting that way. And God says that he takes us outside the realm of this world. And he does that through faith. So faith is that sixth sense that puts us into communication with God. And as somebody reminded me when I walked up here and left my glasses, and they said this verse, they didn't even know that I was going to quote this verse this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:7. I want you to help me finish this. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So let's rephrase that. For we walk by faith and not by the five senses that brings us in communication with this world. See, as Christians, if we walk according to the things of this world and the things of this life, then we are not operating on God's program. You're not on God's program. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time that you trusted God for something in your life? When was the last time that you came against a wall and you knew that if God didn't do it, it wasn't going to happen? See, many of us, we got to go back and think, right? 10 years ago, 15 years ago. You know, if that's your testimony, then you really have to challenge yourself and ask the question, where is my faith at? Where have I exercised my faith in recent times? How important is faith? Let me show you how important is faith. Faith is so important that, number one, as we already said, that you can't please God without it. Faith is so important that, number two, God has given you a shield of faith to deal with the enemy. Every battle that you face every day, God realizes that this battle was so important that he's not going to let you go into it naked. And so what has he provided for you? He has provided the shield of faith. How important is faith? Faith is so important that it determines where we are in life and what we receive. Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, listen to this, according to your faith, be it unto you. So if you are not experiencing victory, if your needs are not being met in your life, then the first thing that you got to do is question your faith. Now, I'm going to say this. Now, God might be doing something else in your life to get you to a certain point. So maybe that might be one reason he's not meeting your needs. So I'm not like these people that say, well, you need to have more faith. You know, I just don't want to throw that blanket statement out. But for a lot of Christians, that is the case, that they need to have more faith. The reason that your needs are not being met is because you are lacking in your faith. Faith is so important that if we're going to do great things, if we're going to see a building rise up in that parking lot over there, we got to have faith. The Bible says you can speak to the mountain, and the mountain will be carried into the sea. If you got the faith, the grain of a mustard seed. Now, again, because I teach hermeneutics, and we teach that that is an exaggeration, what Jesus is doing is he is exaggerating the point, because I've yet to see. Now, maybe I might get a testimony here today, and you can come, and I'm going to my brother's house for a cookout, so I invite you over there, and we can sit down and talk about it, right? We can talk about it at the cookout. I'll call my brother ahead of time, let him know you're coming. I've never seen anybody speak to a mountain. And I went to college in Durango, Colorado. I was in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. I've never seen anybody speak to the Rocky Mountains and it go into the ocean or to the sea. So Jesus is using hyperbole. He is exaggerating to say that if you want to do great things, then you need to have faith. If you got faith, the grain of a mustard seed, then you can do something great. How important is faith? Faith is so important that four times, you know, if God says something once, it's important. If God says something twice, it's important. If God says something three times, that's important. Now, if God says the same thing four times in the Bible, somewhere God's people ought to take need. Four times in the Bible, God says this, and this is not on the screen or in your notes. He says, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. All four of those verses say the exact same thing. The just shall live by faith. How important is faith? Now, in order for us to please God, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That first of all, we need to know where we're at on the faith continuum. Where are you at? You say, Pastor Glaze, I have no idea where I'm at in my faith. Well, I'm going to show you today. I'm going to point out some areas of faith, and that I want you, as I go through these five areas, and again, I'll say this, that, you know, there might be 15, there might be 20, there might be one, there might be two. But today, for sake of this sermon, we're going to say there's five, all right? So since I'm the pastor, you know, and I got the microphone this morning, I'm saying there's five, right? But somebody else might preach and say there's six. So I'm just saying this is where we're at today. So we want to identify five areas in the scripture of faith. Because if God says without faith it is impossible to please him, then I need to be about the business of finding out what I need to do to get more faith. So the first category is that there is no faith. The second category is little faith. The third category is increasing faith. The fourth category is great faith. And then the fifth category is strong faith. So you are this morning in one of these categories. And I want to challenge you today to say whatever category you are in, then you need to be purposing in your heart that I'm going to move up. Eventually, I want to be at the place where I have a strong faith. That should be the testimony of every one of God's children, that they should say that I have a strong faith, not from a pride or egotistical standpoint, but you should be able to say with confidence in the Holy Spirit that I have a strong faith and that I can trust God for daily, everyday things in my life. And then whenever the great things come along, I have a faith that will trust God and will believe that he can supply whatever it is that he has promised. First of all, there's no faith. Turn to Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to go through these pretty quick. Mark chapter 4. A story that we're all familiar with, Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the boat, and there was also with him other little boats. And there arose a great storm, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was now full. And he was in the stern of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have... No faith. No faith. Now, these guys were followers of Christ. So, I mean, it wasn't that these guys were heathen or that they didn't know the Lord. They were followers of Christ. So what does this tell us? It's telling us that the child of God, it's very possible for you to have a saving faith but not have a sanctifying faith. That you have enough faith to get saved, but you don't have enough faith to trust God for things in your life. And see, when this comes in your life, that the first thing that the disciples forgot, all right, the first thing they forgot, you know, they saw Jesus feed thousands of people. They saw Jesus raise individuals from the dead. They saw Jesus give sight to the blind, that he allowed the deaf to hear. They saw Jesus do all that. And so when this storm comes up, they forgot who was on the boat. And when the storms in your life come up and you get fearful and you start freaking out and you start worrying, the chances are is that you have forgot who's on your boat. You forgot that Jesus is in the room upstairs sleeping. But even though he's sleeping, the Bible says in Psalm 121 that he neither slumbers nor sleeps. That he knows what's going on, and that whatever I'm dealing with, and that whatever's going on in my life, if I've got Jesus in my boat, then there's no need for me to fear. And if I have fear, and fear has overcome faith in my life, then what that means is that I have failed to realize that Jesus is on my boat. He might be there, but I'm not acknowledging the fact that he's on my boat. That he's upstairs asleep in the bedroom, but the thing is that he's still in the house. He's still in the house. In that, hey, a sleeping Jesus is better than an awake Bill Glaze. And I need to realize that, right? And so they didn't realize this because they were fearful. Fear will rob you of your faith. Somebody said it like this. Fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. That the reason you have fear in your life is because you have no faith. You have no faith. I heard a knock at my door one day. I said, Who is it? The voice from the other side said, This is fear. Let me in. And I turned to Faith, who was sitting on my couch. And I said, Faith, fear is at the door. Can you answer it? Faith went and answered the door, and there was nobody there. There was nobody there. Now, see, if I opened the door, fear would have jumped all on me. But when I let faith answer the door, fear was not there. And so, my brothers and sisters, where are you? Do you have no faith? Do you have no faith? Some folks have a little faith. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus is giving a discourse on anxiety. As a matter of fact, earlier on this year, we studied this passage. And in this passage, Jesus says in verse 25, he said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. He said, don't worry about clothes. You know, God is going to take care of it. In verse 26, he says, look at the birds, that they don't sow and they don't gather, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you better than they are? Then in verse 28, he says, look at the lilies. He said, they grow and they don't spin. Even Solomon in all his glory was not dressed like one of these flowers. He says in verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Some of y'all have no faith, but some of you have little faith. Now, we can give the people in this category a little credit because they are a little further along the line than everybody else. You know, this is what I call, and again, this is an oxymoron, right? You know, this is what I call a Christian atheist. Christian atheist? How in the world can you be a Christian atheist? Well, you believe in God, but you don't believe that he's able. You believe in God, but you don't believe that he's able. Hebrews 11, 6, for without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, some people got their salvation, but they don't have their faith. Their faith is little. You believe in God, but you don't have enough faith to trust him. That's why when it comes to situations in your life, when it comes to needs in your life, you'll call this person or call that person or work this plan and work that plan, and the last person you communicate with and contact is God. Well, that just goes to show that you're a Christian atheist, that you say you're a Christian, but you do everything but trust God and believe God. And so you are an individual that has little faith. Now, would to God, again, you know, we're trying to build a new church, right? Would to God that we would not have a congregation full of people of no faith or little faith. Because you know what? If that's the case, it's not going to happen. I'm just going to be honest with you. I can have all the faith in the world. All right? But we as a church need to have faith. And so I want to shake you in your foundation today that if you are a person of no faith or little faith, well, how can I tell if I have no faith or little faith? Again, if you are not trusting God for the everyday things in your life, I've been dealing with little aches and pains, and you just have a tendency to start complaining. Yeah, you know, I was working out at the gym the other day. And I went in there and I was feeling a little sorry for myself, you know, and aches and pains, you know, can't work out like I want to. And there was a brother that years ago, we used to kind of work out and I would see him in the gym. And I hadn't seen him for a long time. And I heard that he had colon cancer and that he was really going through, you know, some difficult times and treatments. And I saw him a couple months ago, talked to him. And he said that, you know, he wasn't out of the woods yet. He was still dealing with some treatment. And here I am, you know, on the cardio machine. And this brother, God, I tell you what, God will send you what you need when you need it. And this brother just came out of nowhere. He stood in front of the machine, and he said, let me tell you something I know that you want to appreciate. He had no idea what I was going through. He said, let me tell you something that you want to appreciate. He said, I got up this morning, and God put it in my spirit to appreciate him for putting within me the will to fight. And then he walked away.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Do You Need Faith Surgery? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, do you need faith surgery? You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request, "Do you need faith surgery?" Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request, "Do you need faith surgery?" If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.